What up, world?
Hello. How are you doing? See, don't that sound better and more excited than the last episode? We sounded dead.
We did. I mean, we were going through it, much like many of the players in this league. You should be hyped.
Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah. I'm hyped because I'm the Sky. Oh, wait. Bring it on back.
Okay. All right.
Yo, so this is Sky from the Southwest Atlanta, where the Braves won and got a World Series banner. Pin it. We in it.
Oh, God.
Ain't no limits. Because we win it. But now I'm in the Southern California. That's where I be at. Also, we that. I'm in the Wild Wild West. And I'm with who?
Oh, shit. What was that?
All right. It's your girl, Sills. VA all day, though. Woo, what a week to be from Virginia. Two up, two down, though. All my life. And I'm currently chilling in the PNW where it's cold and windy and cold.
I don't know about none of that. But, yeah. And who are we? We are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two Black women's perspectives on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin,
lay your edges,
and deepen your love for all things Black women.
And so this week, what are we talking about?
This week, we are recapping the NWSL playoffs, the quarterfinal matches, and we're previewing the semifinal matches.
Oh, and then we're going to give y'all our best 11 rankings and our interpretations of the situation. So it's going to be in our way. And yeah, you'll see.
All right. And then we're going to discuss the NWSL news or nonsense, as Scott calls it. And we're going to give you the official rundown of the end of year awards.
Oh, and then all as always, we're going to give you our hits and riffs and rants and raves of the week. And it's got a special thing, similar to the song you probably heard at the beginning of this episode. But anyway, let's get into it.
So we're going to go in order because that's the easiest way to do it. So we're going to talk about both quarterfinal matches this week. The first one took place in Chicago. It was the Chicago Red Stars, who were the 4 seed. First is the Gotham FC, New York, New Jersey, New York, Sky Blue, whatever. You know, Gotham. And the winner of this match would be taking on the Portland Thorns, who are the 1st seed and were on a bye week. So let's give the people the information. The final score of this match was 1-0 to Chicago, who I picked, by the way, last week. Our goal scorer was on fire, Mal Pugh.
Mm-hmm.
Who's had a hell of a week. And we want to talk about this game real quick.
Yeah, let's talk about the game.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts, Sky? Because I feel like you have some.
So what I said was gonna happen.
Okay.
Because I predicted Gotham would win if they would do some things, but they did everything that I knew that would cause them to lose.
Okay.
And so therefore you had Chicago win to get the W. So the biggest thing I said, Gotham would lose this game if they didn't put the right personnel on the field.
Mm-hmm.
More importantly, if they didn't know when to take a certain person who retired off the pitch.
Yes.
So even if you were going to keep her on the pitch, because this could be her last game, and then it did happen to become that.
Mm-hmm.
And you needed to correct your issues in the midfield, and particularly you can't play Allie Long and McCall Zerboni against a team like Chicago, because you're going to then, if you're fortunate, you might get the penalties, but something could happen where y'all can mess around and lose because Mallory Pugh exists.
Yeah.
They didn't. This was the perfect, the playoffs, it has a weird way of highlighting your weaknesses.
Yes.
And this is one of those games where I was like, if you don't do the smart things, like play Jennifer Cujo, if you don't make this game go through your best two top frontline players in Iffy and Midge, you're going to lose this game because That defense is too good. And that midfield is too good. And even if they don't have the finishing, if their tactics are correct and right. other things are happening,
right,
they're going to neutralize you. And it's going to be like a Portland Thorn situation where you're going to go to penalties when you easily could win this game. Mm-hmm. If you just...
Right.
Obvious.
I think this was a match where one coach had a whole lot of playoff experience and the other guy used to work for him, but didn't have it as a head coach, right? And I think it showed. I think I've read some of the quotes from Parkinson after the game, and I don't think anything he game planned made sense for how Chicago actually plays, right? Like, they're not an up and down team, right? They're not a speed team.
Right.
They're a defensive slugfest. Like, they're very comfortable winning 1-0. Like, very comfortable. And I know he said something to the effect of he was trying to squeeze the outside backs in, and that simply didn't work.
Nor did it make sense.
No. And it doesn't really matter when Malpe was like, it doesn't matter.
It also made no sense when you don't have when you don't have Casey Krueger. Like,
right. And that's the other thing, right? Casey Krueger was out with an illness. So she didn't play at all. I don't even think she's on the roster.
Right.
And so it was just an interesting tactic. I thought early it was pretty even, but I also knew when I saw Midge dropping to the midfield to get the ball, they were in trouble. And that's why I would have not played Zabroni and Long. I would have put somebody in that midfield who could transition the ball.
Yes.
And Cujo is probably your best bet to do that.
This was a Cujo
only game, really needed one or the other, right? You needed Long or Zabroni. I don't think you needed both. And I think you had but you had enough to transition it, but because you started the midfield that you started, I just don't think you could ever get the ball to your front line.
Right.
And your central player didn't have the... There was a run. Bless her. She's tired. We're going to talk about that later. But there was a run where I swear to God, she was in full sprint and it looked like slow motion. I was just like, that's not going to work.
I retweeted that. Yeah, it was... Yeah,
I was like, ooh.
And that's probably because that's the thing that... That's something similar. Well, this in the next game we talk about the central, the lack of central running until somebody finally did it. This is a similar thing where I was getting frustrated with Chicago because I was like, somebody go central.
Yeah.
Because Malpeau is servicing shit left and right. Where in the case of Gotham, it's like you got the people, they're setting up the shop. It's like, excuse me, Carly, just run centrally into the box. Just go to the box. Like, be the extra person.
Yeah, and to be fair, that goal came off of a mistake. So I think it's both on Sheridan and Zabroni because, I think Sheridan was iffy passing that out of the back. But I'm also like, Zabroni's been in this league long enough where she knows how to hold up that ball. And if you're going to start Long and Zabroni, part of why you start them is one, they're there to slow people down. And two, they're supposed to hold on to the damn ball. So I think that was both. I think it ended up being, you know, the soccer gods because Malpeau had just missed a fat one, essentially. And so she was due, though. That was a heck of a finish. She still had to have a really good finish.
No. When that mistake happened, I was like, you can't. Mal had just missed.
Yeah, she
off
just
the bar, partially because Sheridan lifted her hand up, that it banged on the bar and then go in. And even still, she had to have her hand in the area to affect how that hit the bar, because that should have went in for like an incredible goal. That I was like, oh, she do. And I was like, y'all really need to change the midfield. And I was like, oh, that's going in. Because I saw Mal running.
Yeah.
Like, right there.
And Malpeau was honest to God. Like, and we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, best 11 defenders of the year, stuff like that. The outside backs for Gotham had a day. Like, they were absolutely... Malpeau went wherever she wanted. And
they're gonna work.
It's not because they're not good. It's because Malpeau's really good. Yeah. But yeah, I honestly, once Chicago got that goal, I was like, oh, it's over. Like, And then the subs that were made were also super interesting.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I'm you know, we're going to talk about it later, but there's a chapter that is now closed. And Gotham lived and died with that 11. Like, they really did, and they died. So,
yeah.
But
it was sad to see, man, because it was like...
There's a lot of potential on that team, and I'm hopeful that now we can build around the best pieces of that team.
I was just going to say, it was sad because I was like, you know what? If they could pull it together.
Yeah, but.
They could have went to Portland and won.
Yeah, but it wasn't meant to be this year. And we will talk about
Chicago
and Portland. But we do want to say congratulations to the Chicago Red Stars for winning their playoff match. And as we said, they will now travel to Portland.
I saw Rory. That was a nice
statement. Look at Rory out here coaching.
He was coaching. I was like, ooh.
Rory out here coaching. He's the longest tenured manager in the NWSL. Good for him.
He coached for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. He actually adjusted and everything. He's done well. That was hard for Sky because she was a Chicago fan.
Let's not talk about it. Why you had to bring that up?
I'm sorry. They talked about that game, but yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, let's talk about
the second game.
Talk about the game that led them to talk about that game.
Yes. The second matchup was the Washington Spirit versus North Carolina Courage at Audi Field in DC. Once again, we had another game that ended 1-0. This one went longer. We had free football. So this game went to extra time. And the goal was scored by Ashley Hatch, who is the Golden Boot winner for the league this year. So yeah, let's talk a little bit about this game. I thought this was a really good game, actually.
Yeah, it was a really, really good game.
Yeah.
It was good.
And just for those who are new to soccer or football, nil-nil games are rarely good, but this one was. So was just really let y'all know that. Yeah.
This was really, really good. I was shocked. Because the NCC, the North Carolina Courage underdogs,
yeah,
while they did not have Sam Uys, they came out in a 4-2-2-2, but it became a 4-whatever-the-hell. It became, I don't know what that was.
There was a lot of floating, and I think what North Carolina did well in spurts, right, I feel like it was a lot of like 10 and 15 minute spurts of domination between both teams.
Yeah.
But I think what North Carolina did well was find the spaces that Washington left open. I thought that was an interesting game plan, including like letting Dabinia kind of just run free, which that's Dabinia, dog. Bruh, she made this one pass. Was it a back hill, but like off the side? Oh my God.
I'm so sexy.
Like, oh my God, I made a noise when I saw that.
Yeah, I was like, oh. And then I got annoyed because I was like, y'all got to do something with
that.
Yeah,
nobody was on the end of that or something. Like, it was a wasted pass. I was like, oh.
That's where I was like, North Carolina actually executed the best game plan they could potentially execute.
Yeah.
The personnel they had healthy.
They did. And honest to God, it's been their issue, particularly the second half of the season. They simply didn't finish their chances.
Yeah.
Because they had the better of the chances, and crossbars are cruel. And it hit. Ooh. It hit at least once. It might have hit twice. I know it hit off of that Dabinia shot.
Dabinia had like about 2-3 hit the crossbar.
And then Aubrey
had one.
And Aubrey Bledsoe would have had the performance of her life, but Casey Murphy was having the performance of her life on the other end. Casey Murphy,
Lord,
who is not a finalist, but we'll get to that in a little bit. But both goalkeepers also stood on their head. Like part of this game was, it was just damn good goalkeeping from two of the best in the game right now.
Right.
And I thought the second half, Washington played a lot better, particularly coming out in that second half. I think Huster absolutely affected the game.
Yep.
And then she got hurt. And it did not look good.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Tori Huster is the only original member of the Washington Spirit left. She's been with this team since the league started and since the team started in 2013. And she went down on a really fluky non-contact play. And it looks, we don't want to speculate, but it doesn't look great. It's either hammy or ACL. Like, it doesn't look great.
I don't think it's
she couldn't put any weight on it, and she was visibly hurt. And just emotionally, I mean, again, she's been here the whole time. So that was really sad to see. And they sort of rallied, I think, in that. And also, we gotta talk about two people, because you know there are girls. Andy Sullivan.
Well, I was gonna say, apart from the second half, North Carolina kind of like faded.
They were tired. They don't have a bench.
They don't have a bench, and it was literally I was like, who else can he put in?
And it was, I was running out of names. I was like, he can't really put anybody in.
He can't put nobody out. He can't take nobody out. And that was part of the issue, because you were missing Sam Mewis, because you didn't have Crystal Dunn, because you didn't have all the defenders you lost, portions of the midfield. Like, because you didn't have things, you had to be playing three different lines. You had Lynn playing. Yeah, J-Mac. You had, honestly, I thought he took out Amy Rodriguez too early.
Yeah.
But I see what he was trying to do, preserve in the event they went on.
Yeah.
But it was like, you needed her the whole game.
Yeah, I just think they ran out of bodies. They ran out of steam. Like you said, I looked at that bench. I was like, he doesn't have a lot of options. This version of this North Carolina team is not the same. And honestly, I think with everything that's happened to them in the past couple of months, they showed a hell of a lot of fight. That's how you know you got people on that squad who've done this a million times.
Right.
And like I said, had Aubrey Bledsoe not stood on her head a few times, we might be having a very different conversation. I thought North Carolina was just as good as Washington. I thought Washington was able to capitalize on the one mistake Casey Murphy made all game long. And she did it in the second overtime or second extra time period. And it was a Trinity Rodman shot who had herself a game, even though her shoes were coming off all game long, apparently. Apparently she was playing with blisters or something like that. But did not look like a rookie, which has been the case most of the season.
Right.
They did a good job on her for a while. I thought Carson Pickett was exceptional. In that game, I thought she did a really, really good job. I think she shut down that front line for almost the entire game. And then they just got tired. And I don't actually think the Trinity, I don't know if Trinity got around her. But yeah, so it was a shot by Trinity Rodman, and it was the one rebound. Casey Murphy let go the whole game, and Ashley Hatch was the right place, right time, as she has been most of the season. And so that was Washington's first playoff win in about 5 years, and they are rewarded with going to the Pacific Northwest to play Oil Rain.
Andy Sullivan.
Oh, I mean, go look at the homie, Not Carlisle's Twitter. He posted today some stats for Andy Sullivan.
It was insane.
Pardon my French. What the fuck?
It was fire. Like, Andy, she balled.
I need this narrative that Andy Sullivan can't do it when it matters to end immediately.
Yeah, she's part of the if you don't have Andy on the field, then Washington probably, well, yeah, the game doesn't go to extra time.
Washington has no shot in that game.
Because I think she actually cleared two balls either between Lynn and or J-Mac and Dabinia.
She's a great.
If she didn't jump in, it was Dabinia. If she doesn't cut off hit it with her head, or she hit it with some body part to clear it out the box, that goes in the goal. Yes. And for all the greatness that Aubrey Bledsoe was doing, it would have went around her.
Yeah.
Andy dropped back and stopped it. She did that a couple of times. That, again, if Andy wasn't playing, then it's a problem. And Andy kept servicing also. And honestly, even with that, the Hatch goal, what's crazy is if North Carolina wasn't tired and they just had one more person centrally, there were opportunities where something similar happened. That if they had like a different kind of formation, or they had more personnel, somebody was fresh who could just run centrally, just ran in, it would have been the same thing. So that
I think for North Carolina, too, part of it was just, I wish they still, for all the chances they created, I wish they had shot a bit more.
They should have.
I think they should have shot. I think at some point, one of those becomes a rebound and you can poach it. But I think it just comes down to, they've had a long season. They've been through some stuff. And they ran out of steam. Like, they're not a young team. And I think it just hit them.
Yeah, like a freight train.
And Washington is a young team, and they had the extra gear. But as an Oil Rain fan, I appreciate that this game went to extra time.
Yeah.
So jumping into that, our matches for next week are set. The first match is on Sunday at noon. It's going to air on CBS Sportsnet, and I believe both games are on CBS Sportsnet next week. And I say noon, like, on the West Coast, it's a 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 Pacific game. And it's Oil Rain versus the Washington Spirit. I want to say one thing. I don't want to put that in the universe. So,
do you want me to predict?
Yeah, you do it.
Okay, fine. So, if it had been North Carolina, my concern with this game with this quarterfinal game that happened previously with Washington, North Carolina, is particularly both teams look exhausted. I was like, North Carolina will be in trouble because if they messed around and won this game, they probably get smacked going to the Pacific Northwest because they look done. Mm-hmm. Washington probably will have more energy, but it's going to be interesting because for the chances that weren't finished with North Carolina, because everybody was playing more than one line, not just more than one position, but yeah, more than one line and multiple lines on multiple positions on whatever line they were playing. In the case of Washington, they're going to have to, North Carolina exposed some things that Oil Rain has personnel to exploit and then has the depth before it to just be nonstop, and that this could be a problem. And I know Washington won the first time, but Oil Rain was extremely tired and kind of fell flat. That probably in hindsight will be the worst game that happened. That will come back to haunt them because they're going to not come out flat and they're going to come to just unleash whatever. So actually, I think this game in particular, if there is a chance for like a lopsided W, it could be this one, or it could be quite close. I still think Owen Ryan wins because, I mean, you could exploit some skillets. He could cook up some skillets. I was going to say also, the way to counteract Andy Sullivan is if she has to stay back and defend and she can't get forward to help assist.
Yeah.
And then you can help remove Trinity Rodman and Ashley Sanchez. Then it gets interesting.
Yeah, I think we have a better back line. And so I think that helps and are pretty capable of moving. I certainly think Huerta's defensive prowess will be tested. This match maybe more than most. But I also think you absolutely have to have her on the pitch. And she's not a bad defender. She really is.
Actually, I think you should have her. You have her and somebody else shadow Trinity Rodman.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to do that. But I always think having Quinn, having them there to sort of help guard that back line from that deep mid position helps as well. And I think it helps to hold the ball against Washington. And we do have Zena from Arizon. So we'll see. I think if we do what we are supposed to do, and I know Laura was up watching the game, I have a good feeling, but I am not one to put it out in the universe. But okay, I will agree with you. Yeah. I'll do that. I'll do it that way.
I will say this last thing. Washington would want to consider bringing in Paige Nielsen earlier if something goes awry, but they probably won't. So again, I expect this game to highlight some deficiencies with Washington.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it when it happens. And we'll get to the next game.
Okay. And so the second match is going to be at, I believe, 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 Pacific. It's going to be in Portland, Oregon, and it is the Portland Thorns versus the Chicago Red Stars. I honestly don't know what to do with this match.
This is an interesting match. This is probably Portland's worst nightmare. Yeah, my bad. The worst nightmare will be y'all coming in.
Yeah.
Or a functioning Gotham would have been the other nightmare.
Yeah.
Or Houston. This is the worst. This is probably the most interesting.
Yeah, because the very first match of the regular season, Portland smacked Chicago 5-0.
Ooh, Lord, that's not
good. But Chicago won the last game.
Yes. And
I don't remember if it was in Portland or Chicago, but they beat
And then them. They shut them down?
It was either, I think it was 2-1, but I could be wrong. They won by one goal, so I don't remember if it was
2-1. Yeah, but I thought, wasn't that the game where they effectively kind of nullified them all over
the place? Yeah, I think by then Chicago's defense was really at its peak. And so, yeah, they were able to neutralize a whole lot. I do think it matters that Casey Krueger is healthy.
Yes, she must be
healthy. Not that Chicago can't make it work. They clearly can rotate that back line out, but I don't think anybody's better than Casey Krueger on the back line.
Yeah, you need her. You need her, yeah.
So I think it makes a big difference if she's playing. I think the Portland back line is also very good.
Yes.
And so I think it'll be interesting because you've got those dual sixes for Chicago and who they choose to neutralize, because you have Angela Salem sort of doing that role by herself and very well. I mean, we'll talk about her in a little bit. So yeah, I think it's going to come down to two teams who I think struggle to finish their chances and what that looks like.
And Crystal Dunn and Rocky Rodriguez.
Right. Is Crystal Dunn going to be healthy and able
and
to
Rocky
play?
And Rocky Rodriguez.
And Rocky Rodriguez. So I do think it matters what lineup Portland's putting out. I think Chicago's healthier at this moment. I also think Chicago has a pretty unproven goalkeeper. Like, we keep forgetting Alyssa. She was good, by the way, in the quarterfinal match.
Yes.
But Alyssa Nair is not black, back there, right? Like, that is right. The one. And it's going to look different. And I've always wondered if that's going to matter at some point.
As the playoffs usually does. At some
but
point.
Having said that, Bella Bixby's not been in an actual playoff game either. She's been in a Challenge Cup and things like that. She hasn't been in the NWSL playoffs either. So you have two relatively inexperienced goalkeepers playing in this match. So who knows?
I don't know. It's going to depend on the hell Mark Parsons put out there as 11. Because I don't know what the hell. Like, it's like, did he think because he has so much talent he could twerk with these 11s all season long? And then he drops out his crazy ass 11 when he plays the semifinal?
Yeah.
Because I don't know what he's going to put out there.
Yeah.
I will say,
yeah, go ahead.
That if there is a team, both of them are going to have their tactics right. This is going to be interesting. Who got your tactics right? If you mess up, how do you adjust? This is going to be, I don't know. I don't know. This could be a grind them out fest, or this could be an ass whooping or somewhere in between. I don't know, man.
Yeah. I genuinely don't know. This is really a pick 'em for me. I don't know. I
would say
Chicago. It's something about Chicago.
There's something about Chicago. I would say Portland due to the rest.
Yeah.
But again, you had so many people rested for so many periods of time.
Yeah.
And then you didn't play. I guarantee he's going to whip out an 11 he hasn't played yet. And it's like, what does that look like when you're running through a team who has a midfield that can stop you and a defense that can stop you?
Yeah.
Like, what happens, particularly when Portland has looked vulnerable, when a team can, like, run around and transition? Like, what happens if the tactics are right on both levels in the front line, even if it's inconsistent, and Mallory Pugh decides to just, you know, hit a bicycle kick? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, if they go down early, you know, what does that look like?
Yeah, I think there's something to that. But I don't know. I that's a hard one to pick. I think I might lean slightly towards Chicago. They're pretty decent on the road. And I think at the end of the day, I might trust that defense just a smidge more. But if you told me Portland was going to win, it wouldn't shock me at all.
Okay, all right, fan. That sounds very all right, Fanny.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
But yeah, I don't know.
I think Chicago's ascending, and I think Portland sort of plateaued, so I don't know where that leaves both teams. Okay, so enough about that, because we'll talk about those games next episode. Next, I'll let you go first, because yours is a lot more convoluted than mine. We're going to give you all...
Why got to be convoluted?
I don't know. You got a lot of stuff written down. we're going to, in the spirit of the end of the regular season, give you our individual best 11s, and then we'll actually touch on the end of season awards after the break. But Sky, do you want to kick us off here?
Okay, hold on for a second. Let's see here. So when I look at the end of the season best 11, the best 11 is so, you know, the best of the 11, how do you say this? It's so limiting. It's so, I don't like being told what to do, effectively. Okay. You know that. But there's layers to it. When we look at a best of 11, I mean, I don't like the concept of the best 11 because you're just indicating that the 11 people you start are the best on your team. When in all honesty, if you have a roster of 30, if you're really good at what you do, you should have a nice rotation that any and everybody could be rolling out at any time, depending on the opponent. And then you have a freaking juggernaut to tap that ass. What's good, Barcelona? Like, you should have something where you could be slotting in people and play a bajillion games. But that's just me. So for my version of Best 11, I wanted to look at all the teams because I got a pretty good memory. I've been blessed and cursed with the photographic, videographic kind of memory. So for all the games that I watch, I'm thinking about across the season, given circumstances that happen, accounting for Olympics, and then coaching and GMing that impacted things. And then, yeah, I went through the teams and then I compiled a best 11 that is interesting. But anyway, so yeah. I looked at like each team. So for Kansas City, I was like, your MVPs in theory were AD French, even though she was there briefly, LaBonta, and Kiki Pickett. Now I know people mentioned Victoria Pickett too.
Yeah,
I could see that. But Kiki Pickett should have been nominated for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I can see that.
Honorable mentions that due to the coaching issue that is KC's biggest problem, you didn't realize the contributions of Kristen Edmonds, Darian Jenkins, and even Jessica Silva because of how they were utilized. But they did a lot of stuff behind the scenes. I would also say Desiree Scott, and to a point, Rachel Corsi. You didn't see stuff that they were doing because you were like, what are they doing? The next one for Race in Louisville, Yuki, Savannah, Emily Fox. Emily Fox got nominated for Rookie of the Year, but those two previously, you know, they totally got ignored, but they like held the team together. And then I forgot Nadia and Ebony, you know, do even with their short tenure. But again, GMing and coaching impacted a lot. So you didn't see it. Shit, shiggity. I scroll down. For Orlando, I had Sydney LaRue because she was everything. I know people hate it, but Ashlyn Harris, yes, she stopped penalties. But again, if you watch the entirety of the season, she kept them in games when they shouldn't have been in games. Because when Sydney was hurt, when everybody else was hurt, you know, she did what needed to be done as a goalkeeper, for better or for worse, and did a lot of stuff that due to, you know, Mark Skinner's issues and then later the lack of midfield talent in spaces or people being hurt on the back line was a problem. Two people that were kind of like lost in the sauce because of this too, Marta and Allie Krieger were super important for them as a team. But the first two are probably the bigger MVPs. For Houston, Jasmine Spencer, Rachel Daly. It's interesting. I say Shay Groom, Christy Mewis, and Nichelle Prince. And again, it's hard to elevate who would be better of all these because of coaching decisions on the inconsistency. For North Carolina, Casey Murphy, Carson Pickett, Lynn Williams, J-Mac. Honorable mentions, Abby Ersic. As you can see, Sam Mewis, she wasn't there. And Dabinia. But again, because of their lack of... Well, the dying by the 4-2-2, you kind of didn't see it necessarily sometimes with Lynn Williams and J-Mac, but they were super important for how they function. Carson Pickett shut down so much stuff that you didn't like. She should be getting called into camp too. And then Casey Murphy, stood on her head. For Washington, people were talking Ashley Hatch because she won a Golden Boot, but who serviced that boot was the Andy Sullivans and the Trinity Rodmans, and also Ashley Sanchez, if we're keeping it real. And then also Aubrey Bledsoe was the MVP. And for Gotham, Iffy, Midge, Caprice, Estelle. I wish Imani had stayed healthy because you would have really been able to see how important she was.
Yeah.
And then Jennifer Cujo, but she wasn't you.
Okay. Well, yeah.
But then Chicago, Sarah Gordon. Casey Krueger, Mal Pugh, and then the double sixes and Morgan Cottrell and Vanessa DiBernardo are up there. For y'all's team, the All Rain. I said y'all. Are you okay? Anyway, Alana Cook, Sophia Huerta playing all over the place. Jess Fishlock, actually Bethany Bosser, Because she did some stuff from the non-perspective, I think, that was overlooked. The French folks would be in this mix if they had played longer, except Sarah, because she was. And then Pino and Rose, if they had not gone over, you know, been out for the Olympics or the stretches they were out. From Portland, Angela Salem, I'm glad she got shine. Actually, Simone Charlie, then Sophia Smith. Who's gotten lost in this sauce though? With this, the, you know, the inconsistencies of lineup or the importance of Crystal, Dunn, Rocky, and Kling to how they function. But the first three I mentioned, probably the most important. So my best 11 were like this. For goalkeeper, it's like a four-way, it's a rotating best 11 type thing, where definitely Casey Murphy, Aubrey Bledsoe, A.D. French over Bella Bixby, because I don't think people realize what A.D. French did before she got traded. And then after she got traded, how she was super important for both teams. Just keep it real. And then Ashlyn Harris. For defense, Sarah Gordon, Casey Krueger, Caprice Adasco, Estelle Johnson, Alana Cook, Carson Pickett. And then I'd have like a rookie honorable mention with Emily Fox and Kiki Pickett. For your midfield, I actually throw Sofia Huerta in the midfield because of how she drops. I know, shocking. Andy Sullivan, of course, Angela Salem, Jess Fishlock, the superhero, and then the double six situation of Mangy Gatrol and Vanessa DiBernardo. In front line, it's just like, it's a lot of people. And they all Black. Ify Anamanu.
Yeah, you got
Midge Purse, Mallard Pugh, Trinity Rodman, Sydney LaRue. And then, yeah, I would throw Lynn up there, Sophia, Bethany, and Jasmine. And that's my.
Okay. I don't have all of that. And next week we'll do a Shea Butter exclusive one, best 11. But I was just going by the leagues this week. So I just did it as best 11, and then I had a like second best 11, or I don't know how you name that exactly. For me, I gave the slight edge to Bledsoe for goalkeeper over Murphy. And then my back line, and I'm pretty sure this is what I submitted, but don't quote me on this. I have Alana Cook, Sarah Gordon, Caprice Didasco, and I put Sophia Wirth on the back line for lack of a better place to put her. And then my midfield is Jess Fishlock, Angela Salem, Andy Sullivan, and my front three are Mitch Purse, Ify Anamanu, and Eugenie Lesomé was really good this year. That's my best 11. And then my second best is, I picked Murphy. Like I said, I gave Bledsoe the slight edge. Defense is really hard this year, particularly for outside backs. This seemed to be the year of the fullback. I have Carson Pickett, Katie Naughton, Emily Mingus, Emily Fox. In midfield, I have Jennifer Marzon. I thought Mergen Control was really good as a six this year for Chicago in that dual six role. And then I couldn't pick three midfielders, so I went four forwards instead. I have Trinity Rodman, I have Ashley Hatch, I have Sydney LaRue, and I have Bethany Balser. So I literally couldn't think of a third midfielder, and there's probably one out there that I forgot. And my logic is many of the people in my first 11 are nominated for end of the year awards. So I kind of went off of that. And then people I thought I had skipped over or who had been skipped over, though some people in my second 11 are nominated as well. But I wanted to give them props because they've had really consistent seasons. I know there's a few people I forgot, like Ebony Salmon. I think she probably only played half the season, but I actually think Pino quietly had a really good season. She got the haircut. She's ready. It's purple.
Well, Pino's here, man.
We'll see how that goes. Yeah, I thought that there were just some really outstanding. I thought Rachel Daly and Christy Munoz were both very good this year for Houston. I thought Nichelle Prince was actually very good this year for Houston as well. Yeah, I think that there's some really Sophia Smith. Oh my gosh, sorry, the baby who's had a coming out party this year. So I think there's just a really good players. I probably could have done a third nine and it would have been valid. Yeah, I don't know. This is just my take. I think these are the most consistent players. And I think if you take them off of their teams, they look very different. So that's sort of what my logic was for it. I'm mad this thing autocorrects Gordon to N-O when it's an E. Stop that. I'm gonna fix it because it's bothering me. But yeah, that's what I got. Like mine is short and sweet. Sky had better logic in picking hers than mine. But I think next week we're gonna give you, like we said, the Shea Butter exclusive best 11, because that's also gonna be lit. And finally do our end of regular season Shea Butter superlatives. Well,
wait, before we do that, can we at least give them the actual
Yes, we can give y'all the actual awards. So these are straight from the NWSO website. These are the official candidates for each of the end of season awards. We did not do an official best 11 because that's not how it works. You have to go in and vote. And you have time to do that if you go to NWSL.com and click on that section that says end of year awards. Okay, so for end of year awards, the MVP finalists are Ashley Hatch, Jessica Fishlock, Angela Salem, Mallory Pugh, and Midge or Margaret Purse. Defensive player of the year is Alana Cook, Caprice Didasco, Sarah Gordon, Emily Mangus, and Carson Pickett. There's a lot of Picketts, man. you gotta be clear. Rookie of the year is going to be Trini Rodman, Emily Fox, or Victoria Pickett. And coach of the year nominees are Laura Harvey, Scott Parkinson, and Mark Parsons. That is Parkinson and Parsons back to back. It's not easy to say. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Look at you.
I did it though. Yay. So those are the finalists. I'm not sure when they're announcing them. Is it at the championship? I imagine it's probably at the championship game or somewhere thereabouts. I think voting closes next week, which would make sense. And these are regular season awards. These are not including postseason performances.
Although you know how people gonna do.
Yeah, I mean, you can vote during the postseason. So I'm sure that's gonna influence some people's thinking for sure. I don't know who the heck's gonna win MVP. Could not tell you. I think the only one I'm sure of is Rookie of the Year.
Oh yeah, Trini Rodman.
Yes, Trini Rodman. Like
MVP.
That's really hard. I personally don't think Golden Boot equals MVP candidate.
Exactly. So I don't know how.
I think Andy Sullivan is probably more important.
Yeah, I would have put Andy Sullivan up there.
Or to that team. Yeah, I would have said Andy, and she's the captain too, right? Like, right. I think I would have said Andy Sullivan's the most important player on the Washington Spirit, and her numbers back it up, right? She doesn't score a lot of goals, but she doesn't have to.
Yeah, and also I would say when two of the people on this list could have, if they would have played more in the last couple of games, would have, you know, beat you for the Golden Boot, they probably should have been in the MVP. Well, then if you should have been on there.
Yeah, I think that was one snub for me, would be having Efi, and I think she did 8 goals, 4 assists, right? So she created a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, that too. So that's where, but I think it could be very well a showdown between Mal and Midge.
I think my dark horse there might be Salem.
That might be the one.
But I also think goals matter. And offensive players usually get the shine.
Right. But I could see, but like I'm saying, Midge and Mal might pull people into where you end up with, out the blue, somebody else wins. For defensive player of the year, Sarah Gordon should win it. But we'll see how people vote. And then Laura Harvey should win the coach of the year.
Yeah, and I honestly think if she wants to split it with, who am I trying to think of? Sam.
Yeah.
That would be fine. That's what we've got. And I think we can take a quick break so we can do the last segment of the show.
Mm-hmm.
All right, y'all. So we'll be back with you in just a moment. To give you a bit of NWSL news, some roster drop news, and our rants and raves and hits and riffs.
Yep.
All right, we'll be back. Get into the second half real quick with a quick hitter NWSL news or a piece of news. And then we're also going to do our very quick roster predictions for the Australia friendlies because that roster drops tomorrow. We're recording on a Monday night. Okay, so WSL news or NWSL news. I just have an all caps, we are free.
Oh, yeah. So it's unfortunate that the Gotham FC people in contingent had to exit the playoffs. I'm sad.
Yeah.
However, we are free at last. Free at last.
Thank God Almighty.
We are free at last. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes. Y'all are free, too. I know it's hard, y'all. But drink some champagne. Drink some wine.
Pour one out. You know what I mean?
You're free, man. You'll get to see y'all are gonna be in far in the playoffs next year to a point because my Angel City appears and the Queen's coming back. But we are free.
We are free. You love to see it. You love to see it. Like I said, I too feel bad for Gotham. I like them. I think they have a lot of talent. I think they have a lot of delegates with talent. But yeah, they had to get free. And sometimes you gotta do that the hard way.
Yeah.
I love that we're not at all saying who we're talking about. It. Everybody knows exactly who we're talking about.
Freedom!
It works on both fronts, right? Because like we said, we're about to talk about these rosters in just a minute, or potential roster. And I'm sitting up here like, oh, snap, there's a spot. I was like, right. First time in forever, there's a spot open.
Right.
Or an extra spot. So.
Whoa, before we do that, what else?
Oh yeah, we do need to drop some news that I totally forgot that was within this last week. Karina LeBlanc, for those of you who don't know who Karina LeBlanc is, she is the former goalkeeper for the Canadian national team, mm-hmm. as well as several NWSL. Did she do WPS too? Yeah, she did. Probably. Oh, she was on that club. Yeah, she was on that. Yeah. But a pretty decorated goalkeeper. Like I said, for Canadian national team and for multiple clubs in women's soccer, both WPS and NWSL, has left her position at CONCACAF, who's the head of, I think, player development, I want to say, something along those lines, to become the general manager for the Portland Thorns. Fun fact about the Portland teams, technically they had one GM until this year, in Gavin Wilkinson, and he is still apparently the GM of the Timbers, which is the MLS team. Both of the Portland teams are owned by the same person, Merritt Paulson. But yes, Karina LeBlanc has taken that job, which was a shocking piece of news to everyone. But I will echo what they said on Diaspora United. Shout out to the other pod. Karina LeBlanc is more than qualified.
Beyond!
And we just wanted to mention her as well because this is a show about Black women in soccer. Karina LeBlanc is a Black woman in soccer. So we do want to shout her out. It's a heck of a choice. I hope she actually gets a lot of power and say in terms of building that roster. So Portland's going to be a real interesting position where I think their identity is going to shift a bit with new teams coming in and CBA and some of how all of this is done.
Yep. Because Portland's not necessarily the destination anymore.
And it has been for a very long time. So.
And also, all these people, so what pissed me off is when this announcement dropped, people were like, well, is she qualified? Excuse you, don't do that.
She's overqualified compared to some of the people.
I mean, because let's keep it real. We just had Lisa Bard, who had no business being commissioner, be commissioner and do some glorified marketing. And we questioning the credentials of Karina.
Who's been in the game. And who's been at the CONCACAF level. Yeah.
Got whole ass Ben Olsen over here. Doing at the Washington Spirit with not the qualifications, not an iota idea. And we were questioning Karina. I could go down the list of what the heck a white person insert Karen or Bobby or whoever in. And it's like, what are we doing? Do not do that. Y'all do this foolishness. This is why it's hard. Well, see, we want diversity. We say we want it, but then we don't actually have the energy and vibes of it.
Right.
Because we start questioning and nitpicking, are people qualified because of the color of their skin, when you wouldn't do that if it was you. And I'm done with that. I'm off my turn. I'm off my soapbox.
Yeah, I think that was what sparked my interest, right? I saw some people questioning her qualifications, and I'm like, you can question how the job came to be. You can question the front office of the Thorns and, you know, what this news does to some of the other news and some of the other investigations going on, et cetera. Like, that's all very valid. I completely get Portland fans being a bit mistrusting of it, not necessarily of Karina, but some of the other stuff surrounding that and why hire her at this time. And I'll be really honest with you. And I said this on Twitter when it happened. When shit really hits the fan, they always hire a Black woman because that's who can clean it up technically, right? So that's how I know it's bad. Because they went and hired a Black woman out of nowhere. And I imagine she will also be fairly instrumental in helping pick the next coach. Because again, Mark Parsons is leaving at the end of the season to go coach the Dutch national team. The women's Dutch national team, I should say. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. She's got a lot of work to do. The expansion draft is in a month, essentially. So, and they've got some players to protect and some roster things to figure out. And like I said, you're competing with Southern California twice now, and Kansas City's building a heck of a squad and they're doing it sort of the right way. And so, there's a lot of decisions for her to make in a very short period of time. But again, do not question. She is absolutely qualified to do it. Right. So we'll see how that plays out. And honestly, I can't believe we're saying this. That's the news this week for the NWSL. Look how short that was.
So you mean that means all hell's about to break
tomorrow. Oh, yeah. It's about to be ridiculous next episode. I can feel it. Okay. So another piece of news, though, is that the roster is going to drop tomorrow. Like I said, we're filming this on Monday. Was it the 8th? The 9th? The 8th. The 8th. So the roster is going to drop tomorrow, Tuesday the 9th. Quickly, if we want to give the people our predicted roster, and we're saying this because there's a strong possibility that many of the veterans or the people that you are used to seeing are not going to go to Australia.
Yes.
Right after the championship game. They fly out the 19th, technically. So, yes. Yeah, who do you have?
Let's see. So from a goalkeeper perspective, I still think AD goes.
See, I thought AD's up. Wife was due.
Oh, well, yeah. Then maybe AD isn't going.
I was like, I don't know. Wait, she's about to be a mama, so I don't know.
Yeah. Who else? Bledsoe and Murphy for sure.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, I got Campbell, but.
And I mean, that's a strong possibility. I might have her too. So.
if we gonna do somebody a solid to, because you didn't bring them in when you should have, and you still took Campbell. Maybe Harris, but you're not going to do that. So, yeah, it's going to be those three then.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, Bixby. My bad.
Yeah, Bella Bixby might get the call. That's the other one I was thinking of.
From a defensive situation, I don't think Becky goes. Because supposedly, young people are supposed to be getting a shine. This is the Christy Mewis era of, if you were, you would come back. If you missed out or you've been in the pool and you might be older, this might be your chance to shine. Against Australia, who everybody and mama's going. They get to go back home and everything gonna be open. So they bring their whole starting squad. So this is actually gonna be a quality friendly. And as per usual, wild as hell, because that's what happens when the US plays Australia. And it's gonna be down under. Oh yeah, it's gonna be off the chain. So I say Tierna, Alana, Caprice.
Okay.
You need veteran back there. So Abby Delkepper is probably going.
Yes.
Emily Fox. I also think Casey Kruger.
Okay.
I see.
I see. Okay, go ahead.
Also from midfield, of course, Andy the God Sullivan, because you're gonna apologize for not bringing her, and you're gonna bring her from here on out. If Rose is healthy, Roseville, Katarina Macario. If Lindsey Horan is healthy, Lindsey. Actually, this is where I put Sofia Huerta, or you can put her on the other line. And actually, the reappearance of Morgan Cottrell. Actually, you know who's missing it here? You still do bring in Christy Mewis. Possibly. Because I don't know if Chris, I don't know if Lindsey Horan is actually healthy. We about to find out.
Yeah.
And for a forward line, Sydney LaRue, you bring her so you don't have to bring Alex Morgan. Because all the veterans you've seen, if they're in their 30s, they're not coming. They're gonna be family time. And that should include Alex Morgan. Because all of them need to get ready for January, for the war that's January. So Sydney LaRue should make a reappearance. Lynn Williams, Sophia Smith. You apologize to Midge Person, you bring her ass back. And then you probably bring Trinity Rotten or Bethany Bowser. I don't know. That might be more than 23. I don't care. But I think they're going to bring people and be like, well, they need to train with us. So that's why I'm putting whatever.
Okay. I think we have a lot of people in common. Like I said, a lot of vets aren't going to show up. Like, I know, obviously, Carla is retired. I know Kelly O'Hara has a wedding that weekend. Like, there are going to be a lot. I imagine Dunn and Press are going to stay gone for the rest of the year to actually take their break.
right.
Because they're probably not going to get one after this.
Yes.
Lisa, we have similar people, but mine are, for goalkeeper, I have AD not going. And obviously Alyssa's not well yet. So I have Bella Bixby, Audrey Bledsoe. And I have Murphy, but if they called Campbell, I wouldn't be surprised. But I'm gonna go Bixby, Bledsoe, Murphy. For my defenders, it's weird to say, like, Tierra Davidson is both young and a veteran all of a sudden. Right. So Davidson, I think you gotta call Cook back in. I think he takes Huerta as a right back, just
probably
particularly with O'Hara there. I think he brings Didasco in to see what she looks like in international competition. I think Dahl Kemper is your veteran. I think Becky still goes, but she has every right not to. And I have Emily Fox, because I do think if we can get her to play left back, we're set. And our Crystal Dunn to the midfield agenda is secure.
Yes.
Midfield, I'm not, at this point, you can't not take Andy Sullivan. You can, but it wouldn't be smart.
Yeah, stop doing that.
But I think she goes regardless because she's fighting for a spot. I do think Roosevelt goes, actually. Macario, definitely. She's already abroad. I think if Lindsay's healthy, she goes because look who's coming. she got some points she needs to prove. And I think the Mewis sisters go.
Yes.
And my front line, this is where I think some of the new names come in. Sophia Smith, I think Trinity Rodman gets her first senior call up. I think Bethany Bosser gets called in. I think this is her first official senior call up outside of ID camp. Hatch gets called back in. He better call Midge, I swear to God. Now, if Midge says no, because she's petty, that's different. But you got to call Midge in.
Right.
I think Lynn Williams goes because it's getting dicey out here.
Yes.
Somebody ain't going to make it. And I actually think Alex goes for the same reason Lindsay goes, because, ooh, look who's coming.
Yeah.
I think she's willing to give up.
The only thing I say Alex may not go is because if we need to heal up or something to prepare for January.
Yeah.
Understand, some of these players, they going to come back in peak the condition. Like, don't get it twisted. Just because they taking off, they do this. This is what they do. They're going to come back like you never missed them to kick in, to put their feet on your couch. So they're going to be ready for war. It's like, if Alex isn't healthy, you might want to risk just get healthy so that you can compete in January versus just trying to go. But yeah, that's going to be interesting to see what he does. Yeah, I could see him taking... Now I think about it, he could take Sophia Huerta as a back up. He should bring in Sarah Gordon.
Oh, yes. I do think he should bring in Sarah Gordon. And I think if she gets a call up, it's going to be very interesting. I think she goes, though, because this is her chance.
Yeah, I would, because Sarah Gordon can also play fullback and play center back. And what we didn't talk about in that game is there was a point in time, a few times, where she was the last line of defense. And she shut all that crap down on Sunday. So, yeah, you bring her into camp.
Oh, yeah. I think I said on Twitter, this is the camp before the camp. I think you'll see some new names. You'll see a nice mixture. I think January, because there's no games, that's the camp where it's going to be like, everybody starts. If Vlacko's about it,
yeah,
the way I think he can be, everybody comes in and we fight. So that's what we're supposed to be doing. Like, it's a battle. It's competition.
Right.
And let's see. Like, let's really take into consideration people's club seasons. And let's go. Nothing's guaranteed. Like, let's go. So,
I mean, I think about it, I would take Sarah Gordon to see what it looks like against
Australia. See what it looks like against Australia. I will say what works in her favor is it looked very good against PSG.
Shut that on down by herself.
And that's
shut three people down Gianni, by herself.
That was Gianni Brun and Katoto, if I'm not mistaken. And I was like, boy, I know Katoto and Gianni don't want to see that again.
Yeah, that was upset.
They were like, absolutely. They were like, y'all, this is what y'all be keeping at home.
Right.
Oh, okay. Oh, y'all want to lose, baby. They were like, y'all want to lose? Oh, okay.
So she could come to the camera and she lay down the baby hairs and let y'all know who shut you down.
All I would like to say is Emma. Please.
Ain't no Emma, please. I'm trying to see her at Chicago. Or wait, she could come.
I mean, she could do both. She could do both. Well, Emma. Actually,
she could.
Emma needs to make some phone calls to
Does Sarah like the Los Angeles weather?
Oh God. Okay. Every damn week, every day.
Did play with Kristen once upon a time.
Anyway,
Sophia too.
I just need her for the season, Emma. You know what to do. There's several people.
You need to do none of that. Stop.
We need outside back desperately.
She needs to rest. Okay. Anyway, so it's that time. All right.
Yes, it is that time. Let's get into these hits and rests and rants and raves of the week. And in honor of a certain team winning this past week,
a certain team.
I'm gonna let you go do it, the Atlanta Bravos. Alana.
What is that? You sound like you.
Alana.
Atlanta.
I mean, sometimes y'all say that to you, sometimes y'all don't.
What do you say? You sounded like you inhaled a cough drop.
Okay. I'm saying I've heard it said that way by people from there. Okay. Maybe they're from outside.
Like that. You got like this crazy Northwestern VA accent.
Don't put me in the Northwest with an accent like that. There is not really.
First of all, it's Atlanta, y'all.
Atlanta. Okay.
It ain't no. Okay, don't do that. The next thing you're going to do is say Hotlanta. Don't say Hotlanta.
No, I would not. I don't. I mean, I would scream ATL Ho before I scream Hotlanta. So, okay. Anyway, in honor of that, you get the floor, ma'am.
In honor of the Atlanta Braves winning the second most recent championships, because shout out to the Atlanta United winning the championship. And also, shout out to the Hawks and to the Dream for seeing the championship thing, and then the Falcons. We'll talk about that later. Anyway, also because the Falcons beat the New Orleans Aints at home. Matthew Thomas Ryan came through. With no O-line, no defense, and him and Mr. Patterson came through and did that thing, and we that. In honor of them, we're going to have an ATL celebration. All right. I'm focused. Okay. So our yesterday's turn up, I wanted to pick Atlanta songs that people may not know about if they're not from Atlanta or if they're out of the perimeter because they're not a part of the in the perimeter, the ITP, because they're not about that actual Atlanta life. They're not from Atlanta. So let's see, my turn up, shout out to the Baby D from the Big Oop Camp with ATL Ho. So people hear ATL Ho all the time. Man, I was trying to find an instrumental for that, but ATL Ho and then East Side versus West Side, as in the East Side of Atlanta versus West Side. Okay. What you know about that?
That's very deep Atlanta. So
yeah, that's super deep Atlanta. People don't know about that. But fun facts, actually, Baby D's sister, was she in the grade below me or above me? So we had the most lit talent performance entertainment things all the time in our high school. Our junior and senior proms were off the chain. Like, they were full Ghetto Fabulous productions.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were turnt. They were lit because Big Oomph did the DJing. So it was fire. And they performed. And so it was all the lituation that you could believe. And so actually, the other song, Stump That Shit, when that came, I'll never forget when the teacher started stumping that shit across the stage at the... at the talent show and almost fell off.
Oh, okay.
My quiet storm from the yesterday.
Is there a tape of this?
No, man. This is like classic.
All right.
The other one would be Throw It Up by Lil Jon and the Eastside Boys. So, Turn Up, we want to talk about when you're in the club at the house party and everybody just like, this is a kind of hostile song, but everybody just starts saying all the verses.
Mm-hmm.
Throw it up, back up. I'm not going to do it. But anyway. Like, that's a whole lituation. Actually, that is a popular song played by a lot of bands.
Mm-hmm.
When you do neck or, neck. And if they break into different songs.
Do we have to explain neck to people?
Oh. Well, yeah, that's what, wait, neck's by Kimmy, all right.
I don't know. Neck is the ultimate Black or HBCU high step song.
Yeah, it's the thing that turns up in your sands.
Yeah.
Yeah, like boom. Everybody top and has... the side of your neck. Yeah, that's
Cameo.
Yeah. It's about this neck by Cameo. Yeah,
just
it's
a YouTube it. Damn it.
Yeah, so normally they do that and then they break off into different songs.
Yeah.
And we did Throw It Up, we did Intoxicated by Hitman Sammy Sam. We did like a whole bunch of stuff like my childhood and the adulthood. Was fire all the time. But anyway, that's all the first taste of Atlanta.
All right. So I also, just for my yesterday's, I picked some Atlanta. Apparently, Sky was here to dictate my list this week.
Why you acting like that? Don't do that.
I mean, I thought it was mine. I thought it was Sylv's, but you know.
Yeah, it is. It's approved. I told you it's approved.
Oh my God.
You didn't embarrass me.
All right. So my yesterday turn up is... No More Play, NGA, by Pastor Troy.
Okay.
I don't know how to explain Pastor Troy to the children. Just go
listen.
I mean,
he was a pastor.
Sure. We'll go with that. What ministry of what? You be the judge. But it gets
the part. War and...
in madness, I don't know.
In littiness and ratchetness and lessons.
A lot
and maybe
dark,
strip club lessons.
A lot of dark liquor shenanigans.
There we go. He's the past of dark liquor shenanigans. There we go.
And my yesterday quiet storm is by an ATL group. I've got Who Can I Run To by Escape.
Who can I run to?
That was the tame one. There's some more grown-up Escape songs. I did not pick those.
I did pick one time. I got to look at the playlist. I got to pick that little Freaky D song. But yeah, I mean, Escape, making great vibes. I got another one I'm going to do next week because I didn't do it yet.
Yeah, I
got
to save it.
But that's what I see you out here. I'm approved. I like that.
Okay.
So I guess it's back to me. So my other song for something that people don't know about, Do It, Pool Palace. Pool Palace is a strip club in my head.
Oh, wow.
And then they made I think it's still open. Anyway, and Bankhead is in West Atlanta. There we go, for perspective.
Bankhead bounce. I'm a bit.
What's up with the Bankhead bounce? Ladies!
Wow.
Well, Yin Yang and everybody under the sun. Okay, sorry.
Yin Yang anyway. And the thing, sorry.
Okay, focus. So yes. Do It. It's like K-Rab. What's that? Born Hustlers. Whatever. I was going to say Ben Hill. Nah, that ain't it. Whatever. Born Hustlers, Inc., Fabo, Lil Jon, all these people. So it's basically, it was like a song. It was like, that's probably the intro that you heard in the beginning of this episode, that beat. But they recreated it to actually update it, because I had like the bootleg version, because that's fire. But anyway, the Pool Palace in itself is a dance. It's a tribute to the strip club. But the actual song then had all these Atlanta dances in it. And at the end, they name them out, whatever. But the Pool Palace is like you like jumping on your toes and then you wobble your legs, kind of, sort of, whatever.
Okay, you can do a tutorial. You can do a tutorial one day.
Yeah, I can do a tutorial. All right. But yeah, that was a classic. You'd be like, do it. Me and he do the Pool Palace. So if you know. But yeah, don't be like, I need to go to the Pool Palace. Stay your lane. Go to Cheetah. The other one would be my quiet storm for today is Ain't Gonna Let Up. I don't know. This man called himself DJ Yola. Yola the Great. Okay. Ain't gonna let up. No, ain't gonna let get me down. So that song's about like taking off your haters. But if you hear that song, I think a lot of marching bands try to play that song too. If you hear that song, you already ready to go to war. I just don't give. Okay, but anyway,
yeah,
I ain't gonna let up. No, ain't gonna get me down. Yeah, yes. That's another Atlanta classic.
All right, I'm done.
All right.
So I'll be brief. I'm gonna say that one first. So my quiet storm of the day, and I couldn't quite pick which song I wanted off the album, so I went with "Relocate" by Duran Bernard. Really a fantastic singer, gay black male, a part of the LGBT family. He's got a really banging duet with Ari Lennox. Oh, there's a remix too. I don't like the remix as much. sorry. It is called, why can't I think of things? Stuck, sorry. But it's really good. So yeah, take a listen to his album, and I think you can find him on Twitter as well and Instagram with a link to that. He has a really good spot on the Terrell show, that YouTube show where like lesser known singers come on and start blowing. That's really good. But he can straight up sing, like it's ridiculous. And then my turn up for today, for no reason whatsoever, is Freedom by Beyonce and Kendrick Lamar. No reason that I picked a song called Freedom today. No reason at all. But play that and feel good about your life. And I know we can't use that beat because it's Beyonce. So I can't afford to pick Beyonce. So listen to it on your own time. but yeah, for no reason. That's it. So yeah, with that, let's get into these hits and riffs and rants and raves. And a quick announcement and then we peace out.
Actually, I wanted to say, see, I don't know what y'all been told. See, I got to get me a big bank roll. Get a fat. Okay, I'm sorry. All right. Anyway, the rant and rave. So my rant this week. So I've been doing holiday polls on my Twitter, for better or for worse. Some of y'all don't like that, so y'all just be unfollowing me. You just mute me, shit. But, you know, y'all already got struggle buds and whilst on Twitter. Struggle taste buds in the women's soccer Twitter fandom. And I'm just sad, because first off, y'all like nasty lattes.
Okay.
This peppermint mocha situation. Why do y'all want to drink toothpaste chocolate, man? Like, does that bring Christmas cheer to you?
It's not for me.
Like, why would you want to drink that? And then you want to drink. Well, y'all got better. At least y'all acknowledge eggnog.
I had an eggnog latte today. It's delicious.
Delicious and nutritious for you.
Yeah.
But then the pie situation. I did pies.
Yeah.
And then it got violent. And then y'all got in my DMs. And then y'all got in my mentions. And then y'all was telling me how pie was nasty. Or that you like their other superior pies. But see, because I didn't just want to do sweet potato and pumpkin, because then people get hostile and then people start getting really violent. But then I was told that those two pies and me ain't crap. So you need to go with the apple and the pecan and the coconut cream and all kinds of stuff.
I just thought as a people, that's a rough poll to see.
But yeah, people were dedicated to pumpkin, actually, which means y'all on some struggle. Have you not been blessed by some good sweet potato pie in your life? I'm gonna need you to go to a legitimate establishment that makes quality sweet potato pie and indulge. And make sure it's not yams, because I know some people, they get, okay, here we go. Some people think, and I get it, because living in California, they'll say something is a sweet potato and I'm like, that is a yam. Or they'll say something is a yam that is actually a sweet potato. Because out here they sell the white sweet potatoes more so than they sell the orange ones. And so I could get it if you accidentally had a yam pie. I feel for you. It probably was stringy. That's a struggle. But you need sweet potato in your life. Get you a sweet potato pie. Indulge in that. Get it. It's always delicious and nutritious for you. It's not nutritious. I'm surprised I didn't see nobody with a chess pie, but that's a whole nother thing.
Wow, chess pie. Are they eight? Are they 80 in black? Are they the candy lady?
Why you gotta do that?
Like, chess pie.
All the people in Tennessee are gonna be really upset.
My fault. Please don't come for me, Tennessee. Lady Boss till I die. I'm sorry.
They're going to be upset. That's like a Tennessee classic, man.
Oh, okay. That's your
chess
that's
pies. Chess pies are so freaking sweet. Yeah. Oh God, I'm like.
Chest pie. I just hadn't heard somebody talk about chest pie in like a decade, fam.
Well, yeah, I didn't see nobody. I'm surprised nobody hit me with that. But there's a lot of
that's deep.
Stuff.
That's that deep culture. They weren't ready for that.
Another one that was great when I lived in Miami, they did a flan cheesecake.
Ooh, I bet you that's amazing.
It's fire.
Ooh. All right. Let me see. See, I'm getting hungry. Yeah, that poll was mad interesting. And to all y'all talk about mint chocolate is an acquired taste, miss me.
Also, one last thing. So the next one's going to be meat. And we almost were stopped talking to each other because I said something about ham. We'll talk about it when I drop that poll this week.
Okay. All right. I mean, this is you. This is a hell of your own construction right here. You keep dropping these polls. Yeah, we got some diverse opinions in What's Up Twitter. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. Mine will be quick. I have two very brief rants. First and foremost, I'm a proud Virginian. I am who I am because I'm from the 804 all day. But what the fuck, Virginia? Like, what the fuck? Like, come on.
I mean, you knew that was a problem when they nominated Terry, but okay.
Terry lost already. Why we keep nominating Terry? Y'all knew he won't go win. We had black women, brown people. Like, we had so many people running that primary, and y'all picked the old white dude who does not understand modern politics. A true establishment Democrat to run for governor after he already lost once. And I don't know how much he did when he was in office because I probably wasn't there by the time he got in office.
But he pissed off people. Like, why would
yeah,
he?
And just, man, like, I'm just, and I know mandates and some other stuff come into play with this. And I'm looking at you, white women. I'm looking at you. Always. 53%.
You gotta vote for toxicity because you.
Well, I will say this. I've seen a lot of people talking about white women voting against their interests, and I'm like, y'all keep assuming it's against their interests.
Oh.
Whiteness is their interest. if we keep it in a buck. So, having said that, I do think they were able to hold a split in the Congress, in state Congress. So, at least it might be a little bit harder to get some reductive stuff. Pass, right? Because there have been a lot of strides made in terms of some progressive bills passing in that state. So,
and y'all just, y'all just elected. He might be crazier than Robert DeSantis.
Oh, I don't know if anybody's wilder than DeSantis. That dude is different.
Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, he out here.
He's another level different. He maybe,
yeah. And he's trying to run for president. So
that's scary. He's leaning towards the extreme of like a Brian Kemp.
I don't know. We'll see. He's done that very Youngkin is his name, who's the governor-elect, but he's done that very weird dance where he's definitely aligned with He Who Shall Not Be Named, but also like was able to distance himself from He Who Shall Not Be Named. So it's very interesting. And that's me looking from the outside in. I haven't been in super contact with my people of Virginia to figure out what's going on, but it's a mess. And I'm really glad my parents I need them to peace out. Sooner right. rather than later. My second one, real quick, mostly because I know what I look like. I'm on the lighter side of black, and so I am
yes,
not.
You are.
I am not. Okay, calm
you
down.
Are weak.
It's winter. I know. And I'm not saying that in a boastful way, but like I am not the person who is allowed to talk about colorism because it does not cut both ways in this case. I just wanted to point out a really good example of colorism is the recent movie, The Harder They Fall, which is an excellent film, by the way. Having said that, the character that Zazie Beetz plays, Stagecoach Mary, is a real life person. And she was a larger, dark skinned Black woman. Zazie Beetz is none of those things. and quite frankly, had they cast that role with somebody who is darker skinned and can act better, I don't think Zazie's a bad actress, but for a myriad of reasons, they could have just been true to the character, and I think it would have added to the movie. And I don't think that casting decision added a whole lot to the film, particularly when your actress counterpart is Regina King. Most people are going to get eaten up by Regina King, except for maybe like five people. So, but it's a darn good film. I do still want everybody to watch it. It's an excellent cast all around, particularly, what's that boy from Lovecraft Country? Jonathan, he's very good. So is Lakeith, who's really honest about having mental health issues while he was filming that, actually. He just opened up about that. So to my Black men, please get the help you need, always. I just wanted to point that out. That's a really good example, particularly we're talking about real life characters. It made me think of the Nina Simone movie where Zoe Saldana was cast and they had put dark makeup on her. That is another example. And those are very blatant examples. Colorism is also very insidious and can happen many other ways. But I just wanted to make sure that we put that on record. Don't do that. Like, you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. Don't do that. And I would actually implore my lighter skinned Black actresses to turn down these roles. You're going to get work anyway. Hollywood is set up for us. And that role could have gone to somebody else, straight up. So I just wanted to point that out. And let's do race. I don't want to end on a downer, but yes, it's real and I need to say it. So, but let's hit these raves.
It's us raves.
Oh, here we go.
So yes, the Braves won the World Series. You know, it's been a long road to get back to this greatness. You know, they blew the team up years ago to get rid of two bad contracts. We had a World Series-like team. Then they blew it up. We saw our pitchers then go on to other teams and win World Series. But here we are. Oh, my bad. And then last year, or the year before that, they embarrassed me by getting whooped by the Dodgers in a must-win game.
Yeah.
And then the Nats won. But you know what? It's okay. Because here we are. Here we stand.
It's
we beat
it.
We beat two teams
okay.
That people didn't believe. They didn't believe we could beat. They didn't believe we could achieve. But here we are. We achieved.
Y'all did it.
So we there. Also.
And without your best player, arguably.
Yes. Get healthy, my guy.
Yeah.
Also, Acuña. Get healthy.
Yeah, Acuña. Yeah.
And we had solar power.
Yeah, that's ball. Did that ball land yet?
I don't know. It's still up in the air.
She smacked the crap out of that ball. Sorry.
And I would have kept it. It'd been like, you can get it for $3 million. But anyway, I am still Southwest Atlanta, baby. Anyway, so the Falcons also won. They beat the Aints. That is our bitter rival. Shout out to Matt Ryan. He had to do all kinds of crazy things. Go watch that game.
I need y'all to understand. I don't know many people who ride harder for Matty Ice than Sky here.
I go hard because I have to endure this. I watch a lot of American football. I'm like a super geek. You can ask my best friend. It's kind of bad. People are like, yo, why don't you just like call some stuff? I'm like, because I enjoy my mental health. I'm not going to be angry. But the Falcons are a disaster class because of their salary cap situation. They literally got like a defense that's all like on the struggle bus, man. Like they like piece together, like a lot of these dudes on defense wouldn't be starting. Might not even make the bench on other teams, but they had to do what they had to do. So I'm proud of the Falcons. People didn't think they was winning. I actually thought they was gonna get killed. But here they came through. Still I rise. So.
All right. Shout out to Atlanta. It's been a good week for y'all. And I know, you know, particularly,
if you don't root for,
I wouldn't even talk about that. See,
okay,
that wouldn't even come up. Listen, even if you aren't a Falcons fan, I think of Omani in these moments, shout out. You still hate the Aints and y'all beat them this week. So I know that felt good for your spirit. So
he probably was like,
oh, he was hype. He had the paper bag on the top. You know how it is. but speaking of dope shit, shout out to Kaya.
What's up, Kaya?
Who got into her first law school. So future lawyer, I told her I'm gonna need her to finish so I can get that retainer going just in case. Yep. We about to be out here shaking things up, and I might need some legal counsel somewhere down the line. So I would appreciate that, and I know she'll get into more, and so she can have her be spoiled for choice about where she wants to go. But we are all rooting for you, and we're very proud of you. Shout out to 2 Cents. Mm-hmm. And everybody is a part of that fam. More to come in the next week or two. Shout out to the Black Star Initiative. Mm-hmm. And I know this is a testy subject today, the Detroit City FC. A few weeks ago, Black Star Initiative was there as Detroit played. And during the weekend, they worked with young children, almost all Black children in the city of Detroit, with workshops and coaching clinics and other things for the entire weekend with professionals and other soccer administrators there to introduce the beautiful game to Black youth. And it was incredibly successful. And I know Chris and Elle and the gang are working on editing a video of that right now. So just keep a lookout for the Black Star Initiative. You can go on their Twitter page or 2 Cents, and they'll be posting those videos. It's just a really good weekend. It felt damn good to see all those Black babies there to learn about the best sport, even when it drives me bonkers. That's what we want to see. That's what it's about. And they interviewed some of those young people, and they just spoke beautifully about why they were excited for them to be there and why they love the game, and what it looks like to not have access to certain things. There was a young woman who wants to go play in college, and she had no idea how the recruiting process worked because they don't come to Detroit, right? Like, it's mm-hmm. it's just really interesting. So one, I hope she gets to Cameron, I believe her name is. I hope she goes to Cornell. I will cop this car if you go, young sis, to support, for sure. But just wanted to give a shout out to that, because that's exactly why we're here. That's exactly why all the Black folks in soccer in the United States are here for moments like that. So we just wanted to shout that out.
Mm-hmm.
Last shout out, Sarah Gordon, Iron Woman. So for those of you who don't know, an Iron Woman, I cannot say that word, I'm sorry. I run woman. I got picked on in college because I couldn't say that word. Means that she played every minute of every regular season game. And she was good.
Yep.
She's nominated for Defensive Player of the Year.
Yep.
All I'm gonna say to that is, Sarah, you're a boss, you're a G, and Blacko, you know what to do.
Yeah. She's not being camp.
Yeah, you know what to do.
Stop playing games.
Okay. We're about to wrap it up, but announcements, shout outs.
What's good? Can I kick it? What's good, Yogi? What's good? What's good, Deacon Yogi?
Yogi. What a character.
Calling Rick Ross.
My 804 homie. What's up, Yogi?
Wait, calling Rick Ross.
No. He said he was online.
Maxi Pearl.
I mean, he was out here looking like AK about the probate and a church lady. Like, I don't know. Rick Ross out here, but he can flow. Who am I?
Yeah. What's good, what's good, FTC, United, all y'all? It's a lot of y'all.
Yeah, too many. Coach, you was out here hitting players in the helmet at UW this weekend, man. What's going on?
We probably don't talk about it when I'm on that this week.
Okay.
My turn next week. This week.
That man is everywhere.
Oh, that's where United, look, okay, famous people. We know famous people over there.
I mean, I saw, you know, not to put Coach Stiff on the spot, Courtney. Sorry, she hates my caller, Coach Stiff.
Coach Stiff. Coach, you shouted out by Missy Elliott.
My VA heart almost exploded. So, I mean, to me, that's royalty. So, I mean, I might as well not talk to you anymore. You big time now.
Right.
I'm like, Missy Elliott knows who you are. You're good. Like we said, shout out to 2 Cents. And I believe we announced it last week. But last week was our last episode with Protagonist Soccer. They've been very good to us and given us space to use our voice. And we wish them nothing but the best. They're a great organization. And they do a whole lot to support the lower leagues in the United States. Mm-hmm. And the players and the fans of those. So please continue to support them. And as for us, hold tight for the next week or two. We have a pretty big announcement. Is it this week? Okay. So yeah, next episode, we'll officially.
Yes. Next episode will sound different. That'll make sense. But Next week, we're going to talk about the semifinals and who's in the finals, and people may or may not be dramatic.
We'll give you our end of the year superlatives and our Shea Butter best 11.
Yes.
And Lord knows, the news is probably about to be real ridiculous because it was a quiet week.
Yeah, news is coming. There is a draft. There are drafts next month. So that means all hell's about to break loose. As the teams dwindle and we get closer to seasons, all hell's about to break loose.
And also, please keep in mind, PA is currently still in negotiations for CBA. So who knows when that'll get done.
Yeah, all hell is breaking loose. It's about to break loose. So you thought it was wild, just get ready. Hold your butt cheeks. We about to go for a ride. It's about to get bumpy. And then, because somebody's probably going to be really dramatic about the game next week, we're going to
I'm live, baby. I will be at the Oil Ring watching this bear.
Lord knows when we're recording next week. But
I think we can still do it. I mean, it might depend on my mood. We'll see.
Okay. Then we're also going to do our hits and rips and rants phrase of the week. We'll see. There are some new segments on the way. There's going to be a website soon. Somebody needs to pay for the website. There's going to be a new website soon.
My bad.
We got a website. It's coming. That way, some of the stuff that we talk about, you can see it. Yes. Some of the old stuff from old episodes, you can see it because holiday season soon. I've been website, baby. We've been out here.
She has. She's been working very hard.
Merch too. Merch is coming.
We're working on it. We see the people out here asking questions. So
they're not asking, they demanding.
Y'all are a little
hostile. Yeah, my inboxes, they've been violent. So
we're working on it. Keep in mind, we've been doing this less than a year, y'all. We coming. We promise. Thanks to your support. This is taking off very fast. We love it. But we're playing catch up. We want to get y'all what y'all want and continue to deliver a product that's worth listening to and that supports Black players, fans, administrators, etc. in this beautiful game. Quick shout out just for personal reasons. Shout out to the Lady Cougs Soccer for making the tournament. Okay. Just wanted to shout. Listen, let me shout out the kids.
Shout out my other alma mater, Florida State. What's good with you? How you doing?
Yeah, they're a one seed, something like that. They're out there.
I'll say Georgia Tech, but we ain't got no team.
Well, maybe one day. All right, enough talking from us. Let's get this up to you. So until next time, stay hydrated.
Stay melanated.
Make sure the Black women in your life are celebrated.
And make sure your Shea Butter bombs are always elevated. And we'll holla at y'all and see y'all next week. Also, go Falcons. Go Hawks. They're losing. Go Hawks. Go Dream. Not even. I wasn't like a Dream fan. I'm more so. Go Sky.
Yeah. Shout out all your teams.
Go Candace Parker's teams.
And pray for my nerves, fam, on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. She's going to be emotional. She's not going to even pay attention to me. She going to ignore me, y'all.
We'll see how it goes.
At least you're in the press box. Anyway, peace. 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 Peace.
Peace out.